This week's parsha is Parsha Shlach. The beginning of Parsha Shlach, we have the story of the Meraglim, the spies that Moshe Rabbeinu sent to look at Eretz Yisrael, and they came back with evil reports. After they came back, it was decreed that all the Jews should die in the desert. Then at the end of the Parsha, we have the Parsha of Mekoshesh on chapter 15, Pasuk number 32. We have the gatherer that somebody transgressed Shabbos and he was killed because of it. Right afterwards, on chapter 15, Pasuk number 37, all the way to the end of the Parsha, we have the Parsha of Tzitzis. Basically, that is the Parsha that we say every day in the Shema. We discuss the Tzitzis. The third Parsha of the Shema is the Parsha of Tzitzis. We are going to focus our class in this Parsha. First, we have to find out how come this Parsha of Tzitzis is written right here. What is the connection to this Parsha? And the simple interpretation we are going to say that it is directly connected to the Parsha of Mekoshesh, the gatherer who transgressed Shabbos and was put to death, that's written before. Since we connect the Mekoshesh to the Parsha of Avodah Zarah, right before the gatherer, we have the story of Avodah Zarah, because on chapter 15, Pasuk number 31, which is the immediate Pasuk before the Parsha of Mekoshesh, before the Parsha of the gatherer, where the Pasuk says, Kidvar Hashem Bozo, that the word of Hashem he scorned, Ves mitzvois ha-hefer, and his mitzvahs he broke, he kores tikores ha-nefesh ahi, that soul should be cut off. Avoy Nabah, her sin is within her. Rashi says, what does it mean, Dvar Hashem Bozo, that he scorned the word of Hashem? Rashi says that it means literally, that he scorned the word of Hashem. The only words that we heard directly from Hashem were the first two commandments. Anoichi Hashem Elokecha, I'm the God, your God, Veloyi Elecha, and you should not have other gods in front of me. Those commandments regarding idolatry were the ones that we heard directly for Hashem. This pasuk that says that he scorned the word of Hashem means literally the word, which means a warning against idolatry. And right afterwards it's written the Parsha of Mekoshesh, the Parsha of Shabbos. Therefore we learn the same way that somebody does idolatry, he's denying all the mitzvahs, he's denying the whole Torah. So too, if you do Shabbos, it's also equivalent as you have done the whole Torah. Because anybody who keeps Shabbos is reaffirming the existence of Hashem. He is in a way testifying that Hashem was the creator of the world and he rested on the seventh day. Therefore, it's equivalent as you'd have kept the whole Torah. Now, according to this idea of the Imre Shefer, we could say that the connection to this Parsha of Tzitzis is that Tzitzis, also the Gemara writes down, is equivalent as you'd have kept the whole Torah. Because the Gemara in Menaches, Daf Mem Gimel Amud Beis says, the Pasuk says in chapter 15, Pasuk 39, Vayu lochem letzitzes, should be for you tzitzes, ureisem oisoi, and you should see it, uzechartem es kol mitzvois Hashem, and you will remember all the mitzvahs Hashem, vasisem oisom. The Gemara uses this Pasuk and says it, that literally, if you do the mitzvahs of tzitzes, then you'll remember all the mitzvahs of Hashem, and it's considered as you would have done it. Vasisem oisom doesn't mean that you will eventually do them. Vasisem oisom means that you actually did them. That by you performing the mitzvah of tzitzes, I consider it as you'd have done all the mitzvahs of Hashem. The Gemara says literally, Shekula mitzvah zu, that the mitzvah of tzitzes is the same weight, keneged kol mitzvahs kulon, as all the other mitzvahs. According to this, we understand the connection between tzitzes and the mekoshesh. Because since we mentioned that if you do idolatry, then it's considered as you'd have denied the mitzvahs of Hashem, then you do Shabbos, Shabbos is considered as you did all the mitzvahs of Hashem, so too is the mitzvah of tzitzes considered as you did all the mitzvahs of Hashem. Yalkut Shimoni says the same thing, and he brings down Magid HaKosuv, the Pasuk Hu, Re'isem Vasisem, that you should see the tzitzes and do all the mitzvahs of Hashem, comes to tell you, Shekol HaMekayim mitzvah tzitzes, that anybody who does the mitzvah of tzitzes, Ma'ale Olav HaKosuv, Ki'ilu Kiyam Kol HaMitzvah Skilon. The Torah considers it as he would have done all the mitzvahs. And then he says something new. V'loi ha'dvorim kal v'choymer, we have a kal v'choymer, means we have a clear deduction. Uma ima mekayim mitzvah tzitzes, if somebody who does mitzvah tzitzes, male olav akosov kilu kiyam kol mitzvahs, if somebody who does mitzvah tzitzes, then they consider it as you would have done all of mitzvahs, kal v'choymer lechol ha'mitzvahs shebetoira. It is a clear deduction that if you do any other mitzvah of the Torah, that the Torah will consider as you did the whole Torah. In other words, almost all the mitzvahs that you do, Hashem considers as you did all the mitzvahs. The question is, what kind of deduction it is from the mitzvah of tzitzis? How do you deduce that from the mitzvah of tzitzis? The commentary of Zayis Ranon on the Yalkut Shimoni says that tzitzis hi mitzvah kala, tzitzis is called a easy mitzvah, because it's not very expensive. The simple interpretation is that it is inexpensive, it is very easy to do, and it doesn't cost too much money. Therefore, if by making a mitzvah that's so easy to do, so inexpensive, you get so much reward, for sure you get reward for mitzvahs that are more expensive. The question that they ask on this Zayis Ranon is that we know that techeles, that the dye that normally the tzitzis was dyed with, it was very expensive. Then how can he say she'ein bo chisaron kis, that tzitzis is an inexpensive mitzvah? So they answer that yes, it's one-time expense, but after that, every day for the rest of your life, if you wear those tzitzis, you don't have any more expenses. That tzitzis stays forever. Therefore, you have no more expense on the mitzvah of tzitzis, not like other mitzvahs that you have to do that normally you have to spend money on. Lulav, you cannot have the same lulav for all your life because the lulav is going to spoil, but tzitzis, those fringes do not spoil. Once it's painted with the blood of the chilazon, then the tzitzis lasts forever. Since the tzitzis lasts forever, then it's a mitzvah that you don't have so much expense, there's no chisaron kis, and if this mitzvah you get such reward, even though it doesn't cost you any money, there is no self-sacrifice so much in the mitzvah, it's so easy to do, and Hashem gives you such reward, for sure, for other mitzvahs that takes you more self-sacrifice, that you have more temptation to transgress, then for sure you'll get more reward for those mitzvahs. But other Mefarshim brings down that the Gemara actually quotes that tzitzis is mitzvah kala. The Gemara on Menachas, Daf Mem Dalet 44a says, Omar Rab Nosson says, Ein lach kol mitzvah kala sheksuv b'toira, there is never even a light mitzvah written in the Torah, she'ei matn schora b'olam hazeh, that Hashem will not give you a huge reward in this world, u'le'olam haba, in the world to come, any yodea kamo, I can't even describe how great it'll be. How do I know that? So he says, say you will mat mitzvah tzitzis. Learn from the mitzvah of tzitzis. Obviously, since he says, let's learn from mitzvah tzitzis, and he says that even for a mitzvah kala, Hashem gives reward in this world, obviously he holds that tzitzis is a mitzvah kala, a light mitzvah. So Mefarshim explains, why is tzitzis a mitzvah kala? Why is tzitzis considered a light mitzvah? Rashi explains that mitzvah tzitzis is considered a light mitzvah because there is no negative commandment or penalty for kores. That if you don't do tzitzis, you don't transgress a negative commandment, and if you don't do tzitzis, you don't transgress a kores prohibition. Definitely other mitzvahs that you do that have accompanied with a negative commandment or if a kores prohibition, if a cut off from the Jewish people prohibition, for sure that you'll get reward. According to this Gemara, we could understand the kal v'choymer of the Yalkut Shimoni, since the Gemara calls tzitzis a mitzvah kala, and this light mitzvah is equivalent to the whole Torah, for sure harsher mitzvahs, regardless of why they are harsher, either because they are more expensive or because they have harsher punishments, for sure they are equivalent as you'd have done all the mitzvahs of the Torah. Now, according to what we say now, that tzitzis is called a mitzvah kala, we could explain a Rashi on Devarim, chapter 7, pasuk number 12, on the beginning of Parshas Ekev. There the pasuk says, "Vayu Ekev tishmeun es ha-mishputim oile." This should be the reward if you listen to my ordinances. Rashi says, what does it mean, Ekev tishmeun? Why is it written the word Ekev? It should have written, "Vayu im tishmeun," if you're going to listen. So Rashi says, "Im ha-mitzvahs kalois she'odom dosh ba-kefav tishmeun." If you do the easy mitzvahs that a person threshes with his heels, you should learn. Everybody is bothered, what is a mitzvah kala? What is considered a light mitzvah? But now that we see that mitzvah tzitzis is a mitzvah kala, Sefer Kerem Shloime says that it's referring to the mitzvah of tzitzis. If you perform the mitzvah of tzitzis, which is a light mitzvah, as we saw from the Gemara, then Hashem will give you all the rewards written on this parsha. And what does it mean, she'odom dosh ba'kevav, that a person steps with his heels? Sefer Kerem Shloim explains that since mitzvah usually hang down, and a lot of times a person by mistakes end up stepping on his tzitzis is an easy mitzvah, and if you are careful in those mitzvahs that you shouldn't step on them, that you should keep the proper honor, and since mitzvah tzitzis is considered as you kept the whole Torah, then Hashem will give you the rewards that's written on Parshas Ekev. All the rewards that's written on Parshas Ekev you'll get if you keep the mitzvah of tzitzis and if you make sure that you are careful and not to step on your tzitzis and wear your tzitzis. The Rachaim HaKodesh on chapter 15, pasuk 37, the beginning of the parsha of tzitzis, where it says, "Vayomer Hashem el Moshe leimor," and Hashem said to Moshe, saying, he's asking a question: how come here the Torah doesn't follow the regular formula? When Hashem always speaks to Moshe, where it starts, "Vaydaber Hashem el Moshe leimor," that Hashem spoke to Moshe, saying, why here it's changed to "Vayomer Hashem el Moshe leimor," and Hashem said to Moshe, and not "Vaydaber," not that he spoke. And he answered based on a medrash regarding the Mekoshesh, regarding the gatherer. The medrash brings down that when the Mekoshesh transgressed Shabbos, Moshe Rabbeinu came in front of Hashem and says, "Hashem, it's written on the tefillin, Lamantia Torah Hashem Beficho, that by you wearing tefillin, you'll remember the Torah of Hashem. But you also told the Jewish people that they should wear tefillin every day of the week besides Shabbos. Since the tefillin is written, Vayu le'ois al yotcho, that this will be a sign in your hand." In other words, tefillin is considered a ois, a sign of our servitude to Hashem. And Shabbos is on its own right a ois, because it's written on Shemos chapter 31, pasuk number 17, "Beini uveimnei Israel," between me and the Jewish people, "Oisi le'olam," it's a sign forever, "Kisheshes yomim osu Hashem es ha'shamayim ve'sa'aretz," that 6 days Hashem did the heaven and earth, "Iveyom ha'shvi," in the 7 days, "Shavas ve'inofash," he rested and refreshed. Therefore, you said to them that they don't have to wear tefillin on Shabbos, because Shabbos, it's in its own a sign that we are committed and we have a commitment with Hashem. But nonetheless, the fact that they not wearing the tefillin, they will come to forget the rest of the Torah of Hashem, and they will come to transgress. And Moshe Rabbeinu claimed that that is the reason why the Mekoshesh, why the gatherer, forgot the laws. Because since he didn't have the tefillin, he forgot the connection to Hashem, and therefore he ended up transgressing Shabbos. So Hashem answered them, "You're right, I will give you the mitzvah of tzitzis." That's why it's written, "Vayomer Hashem el Moshe leimor," that Hashem spoke to Moshe, saying, and it's not written, "Vaydaber Hashem el Moshe leimor," because this was actually an answer to Moshe's Rabbeinu request that he give them an extra mitzvah, that this mitzvah will able to remind us of all the mitzvahs of Hashem, even on Shabbos. That even though we're not wearing tefillin on Shabbos, but since we have the tzitzis to remind us, therefore we will remember and not transgress Shabbos. According to this Orachaim, we could answer now very clearly how come the mitzvah of tzitzis is read right after the parsha of the gatherer. Since the event of the gatherer was the event that prompted Moshe Rabbeinu to request a mitzvah that will remind us of all the mitzvahs, and that mitzvah applies also on Shabbos, and because of that Hashem gave him the mitzvah of tzitzis, then it's very logical that the mitzvah of tzitzis should follow the parsha of the gatherer. Sefer Panim Yafos asks a question, why is it written on chapter 15, Pasuk number 32, before the Mekoshesh, Vayu Bnei Yisrael Bamidbar, that the Jewish people were in the desert? Obviously, I know they were in the desert. Also, he asks a question, why does Hashem wait to give the mitzvah of tzitzis till this juncture? Why didn't Hashem tell us the mitzvah of tzitzis at Sinai, like most other mitzvahs? Why was it necessary just at this juncture to give us the mitzvah of tzitzis? And he answers based on the Gemara in Menachos Daf Mem Aleph Omed Aleph. There the Gemara says that Malacha Ashkecha L'Rav Katina, the angel found Rav Katina, the Michsa Sadina, that he was covering himself with a linen wrap. According to Halacha, if you're wearing a linen four-corner garment, you are not required to put tzitzis on it. As a matter of fact, the rabbis forbade you from putting tzitzis on it, even though biblically you are required to put tzitzis on it, because the Torah tells you that kshatnes, woolen linen together, when it's tzitzis, it's allowed, because the positive commandment of tzitzis pushes away the negative commandment of wearing woolen linen together. But the rabbis were afraid that you are going to wear this garment at night. At night you won't have the mitzvah of tzitzis. And if you don't have the mitzvah of tzitzis, you have the prohibition of klaim, the prohibition of wearing wool and linen together. Therefore the rabbis forbade you from putting wool tzitzis in a linen garment. You can't put cheles, you can't put the wool tzitzis in a linen garment, even though biblically you are allowed to. But since the rabbis gave a decree that you're not allowed to do that, then you are exempt. The Gemara tells that the angel found Rav Katina wearing such a cloth. He was wearing a four-corner linen cloth that's exempt from tzitzis. Omale, the angel tells him, Katina, 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 Sadina Bekaito, you're wearing a linen wrap in the summer. Vesarbala besisvese, and in the winter you wear a wool coat, which has round edges, doesn't have four corners. So tzitzis shel tcheles matei oleyo, when are you going to perform the mitzvah of tzitzis? Meaning, the angel was criticizing Rav Katina that he is not performing the mitzvah of tzitzis. In the summer, Rav Katina is wearing a linen wrap, which the rabbis say that you're not allowed to put tzitzis on it. And in the winter, he's wearing a winter coat, which has round edges, doesn't have four corners, and the mitzvah of tzitzis is only to put on a clothing of four corners, then it ends up that he is never performing the mitzvah of tzitzis. So the angel is criticizing what is going to happen about the mitzvah of tzitzis. Omalei Rav Katina asked the angels, Anshisu Asa, did you punish a person for transgressing a positive commandment? Toisus explains that this is not a regular positive commandment. Yeah, if you don't shake your lulav, Hashem is going to punish you, because you have a requirement to shake the lulav. But here the mitzvah is that if you have a four-corner garment, then you're required to put tzitzis. If you don't have a four-corner garment, you're not required to put tzitzis. So do you punish on a mitzvah's asay? Do you punish on a positive commandment? The angel answered Rav Katina, you're right. Normally Hashem does not punish for somebody not performing a mitzvah asay, not performing a positive commandment. But bizman de iker rischa, when there is anger in the world, when Hashem is angry and is punishing anyways, then anshinan Hashem punishes for you trying to evade the mitzvah. That even though you're not required to make the mitzvah, but if you are evading the mitzvah, Hashem will punish if it's already angry. Meaning that Hashem will argue, not only he doesn't do what he's supposed to, he tries always to evade what I tell him to do. I tell him to do something and he misbehaves, and he also tries to evade to be a nice boy, to try to make mitzvahs. The fact that you make sure that you don't have a four-corner garment or you're wearing something that's exempt from tzitzis, that shows that you don't want to do what Hashem tells you to do. And when Hashem is angry and he's giving you punishment, then Hashem also punishes for that. According to this, Sefer Panim Yafos explains that it's possible that Hashem already gave this law at Sinai. But Hashem didn't care very much if the people are wearing three-corner clothing, five-corner clothing, that you really don't have to do the mitzvah of tzitzis only if you have a four-corner cloth. And it's not important to Hashem if you're wearing a four-corner cloth or a three-corner cloth, because since Hashem was not angry at the Jewish people, then it did not make a difference what kind of cloth they were. Even they were trying to evade the mitzvah of tzitzis, it did not matter. But now that it's written that Vayu Bnei Yisrael Bamidbar, that the Jewish people were in the desert, which means that they are punished, that for 38 years they are required to be in the desert because of the sin of the spies, they are not allowed to go into Eretz Yisrael until this generation dies. They are required to remain in the desert. Comes out that for 38 years they are going to be punished. Hashem's anger is going to last for this time. They are considered Nezufim Lamokoim. They are shamed by Hashem, ostracized by Hashem. So Hashem is angry at the Jewish people. Now it is very important that you make sure that you make your mitzvah of tzitzis, that you actually go out of your way to wear a four-corner cloth to make sure that you put tzitzis on them. Because up until now was okay for you to wear a three-corner cloth because Hashem didn't care very much if you made the mitzvah tzitzis. But now that Hashem is angry, and as we mentioned, when Hashem is angry, Hashem punishes you for evading making the mitzvah, for not making as many mitzvahs as you can. Therefore, now when we are in the desert, Hashem is telling you, make sure you get a four-corner cloth and put tzitzis on it. Then I will be happy. Then you won't give me an excuse to be more angry at you, because since I'm angry anyways because of what you did, and I would punish you for you not doing the extra step, not going and making the mitzvah of tzitzis, therefore now Hashem tells you to make sure that you get a four-corner cloth and you put tzitzis on it. According to this, now comes out very well how come mitzvah tzitzis is right after the Mekoshesh together. Because since the parsha of the Mekoshesh starts that the Jewish people were in the desert, and only because the Jewish people were punished that they are in the desert, that's why Hashem is requiring us to make the mitzvah of tzitzis. Because had we not made the mitzvah of tzitzis now, He would punish us harsher. Therefore, right after the parsha of the Mekoshesh, it is written the parsha of mitzvah of tzitzis. Sefer Pardas Yosef uses this Gemara that when you transgress a positive commandment, Hashem only punishes you when He is angry, to answer a Rashi in beginning of Bereshis. Rashi on chapter 1, Pasuk number 11, where the Pasuk says, Tache oretz desha, let the earth sprout vegetation. Esef mazria zera, herbage giving seed. Eitz pri oise pri leminoi, that a tree of fruit give fruit for its species. Then on Pasuk number 12, it's written that the earth did that. Vatoitze oretz desha, that the earth brought forth vegetation. Esef mazria zera, herbage yielding seed lemineo for its kind. The eitz oise pri, and a tree making fruit. That its seed eats for its own kind. Meaning that originally Hashem requested eitz pri, a tree of fruit, to give fruit, and the earth only did the eitz oise pri, that the tree should give fruit. So Rashi explains what is the difference. Rashi explains that originally Hashem asked that the trunk of the tree should taste like the tree, therefore it's called eitz pri, a tree fruit that gives fruit. But the earth did not do that. The earth corrupted and did eitz, a tree that gives fruit, but the trunk itself did not taste like the fruit. Was eitz oise pri, was only a tree that gives fruit. Rashi continues, therefore, lefikach, because the earth did not do what it's supposed to, when man was cursed for his sin, meaning when man was cursed after he ate the fruit of the tree, on Pasuk number 17, where it says there, Ule Adam Omar Kishomato Lekol Ishtecho, to Adam he said, because you listened to the voice of your wife, Vatoicha Minoetza Shesivisicho Leimor Loi Soichal Mimenu, and you ate from the fruit that I told you you should not eat from it,
Arura hadoma bavirecha, the earth should be cursed because of you.
Rashi is trying to answer the question, if man sinned, why was the earth cursed? What is the fault of the earth that man sinned? Why does Hashem curse the earth after man makes a mistake? Hashem should only curse man. What is it the earth's fault that man made a mistake? Rashi answers that the earth really was guilty from before.
In other words, because the earth corrupted before, therefore when Hashem is cursing man, Hashem also cursed the earth. Nifkeda gami al avoino, Hashem remembered also she because of her sin, when iskalo and she was cursed. Comes out that Hashem waited to curse the earth until Adam did a crime, and then Hashem got angry at Adam and punished Adam. At that point, Hashem also punished the earth. The question before Hashem asks is, how come Hashem did not punish the earth right away? As soon as the earth didn't do what Hashem told it, then Hashem should have just punished the earth. Why wait till Adam does something wrong and then punish the earth by Adam? Just punish the earth first, and then when Adam does something wrong, punish him? And the answer is based on this Gemara. Since the earth was only commanded by a positive commandment to do what it's supposed to do, Hashem told the earth that the tree of fruit should give fruit, and the earth did not do that. In other words, did not do the positive commandment that Hashem told her to do.
The earth only made that the tree should give fruit, and not the tree fruit should give fruit.
So the earth transgressed a positive commandment, and as we mentioned, Hashem does not punish on a positive commandment by itself. Hashem waits till he gets angry. So when did Hashem get angry? When Adam transgressed a negative commandment, Hashem told him do not eat from the fruit, and he went ahead and ate. Hashem got angry at Adam. When Hashem gets angry, then he remembers the positive commandment that you did not do. So at the point when Hashem got angry, that's when Hashem decided to curse the earth, because that's when Hashem got angry, and Hashem only punishes on positive commandment when he is angry. So based on this Gemara Rav Ketina, that Hashem does not punish on positive commandments only when he's angry, we understand how come Hashem did not curse the earth until Adam sinned. Hashem was waiting till Adam sinned and then he'll be angry. At that point, he cursed the earth for his previous transgression of a positive commandment.
Rashi himself seems to bring a connection between the Parsha of Tzitzis to the previous Parsha, the Parsha of Meraglim, the Parsha of Spies. Because Rashi on Pasuk number 39, where the Pasuk says, Uriise Moiso, you should see the tzitzis. Uzachartem es kol mitzvos Hashem, you should remember all the mitzvot of Hashem, vasisem oisom, and you should do them. Veloiso suru achar elevavchem, and you should not mistake after your heart. That's the translation of the unkulus. Velositun, don't mistake after your heart. Vachre enechem, after your eyes. But Rashi says the translation of Loiso Suru is not like the unklus that you should mistake. Rashi says, Kemoi metur ha'aretz, like the Pasuk on beginning, on chapter 13, Pasuk 25, says, Vayoshuvu metur ha'aretz, and they came back from spying the land after 40 days, and at that point they gave evil reports. There the word is written, metur ha'aretz, they came back from spying the land. And here it's written Veloi Sosuru, which means do not spy after your hearts. So Rashi continues, Halev Voinaim, the heart and the eyes, Hei Meraglim Laguf, they are spies for the body, Umesarsim Loi Esaverus, and they cause them to sin. They make the sin easier. So Rashi continues, Hoayin Roya, the eyes sees, Valev Choymet, and the heart desires, Vaguf oises waveros, and the body does the sin. In other words, it all starts by your eyes and by your heart. That you desire to do, therefore you sin. From this Rashi, you see clearly that Rashi himself is putting a connection between the mitzvah tzitzis and the mitzvah meraglim, that both have to do with spying. I wanted to say that this Rashi is much deeper than we think, because Rashi decides to bring a proof of Sasuru, meaning spying, from when
the Meraglim came back. It's written there, Vayoshuvu Mitura Ares, they came back to spy the land, which is on chapter 13, Pasuk number 25. The question is, how come Rashi doesn't use the second Pasuk on the week Parsha, chapter 13, Pasuk number 2, there it says, Shlach lecho anoshim, send men, Vayosuru es eretz Knan, and they should spy out the land of Knan. How come Rashi doesn't bring here what is called Sasuru from the word Vayasuru, and they should spy out? Furthermore, if you want to say that's too complicated,
meaning that Rashi prefers to use a simpler verb, he wants to use Mitur Ha'aretz rather than Vayasuru, because it's already the verb conjugated, we still have a question, because Rashi could have used, instead of Pasuk number 25, Rashi could have used on Pasuk 17, where Moshe Rabbeinu is sending the people, where it says there, Vayishlach oiso Moshe, losur es eretz Knan, that Moshe Rabbeinu sent them to spy out the land of Knan. How come Rashi doesn't use this Pasuk? How come Rashi waits till Pasuk number 25 to use the Pasuk? Rashi could have used the Pasuk to prove that Sasuru means spying from Pasuk number 17, where it says there that Moshe sent them out to spy the land, Lasur es Oretz. I wanted to answer that Rashi is much deeper. Rashi is trying to say that the mitzvah of tzitzis totally counteracts the problem of the spies. If the spies would have had tzitzis, they would have not made the mistake. Meaning that Rashi is trying to say that the mitzvah of tzitzis is correcting the problem that happened on Pasuk 25. When they came back from spying the land and they gave evil reports, Rashi is trying to hint that had they kept the mitzvah of tzitzis, they wouldn't have done it.
Therefore, Rashi, to tell you what Sosuru means, picks specifically the Pasuk where it tells you when the spies came back and they actually sinned, that had they had the mitzvah of tzitzis, that would have counteracted their sin. And I'm basing what I'm saying by the Gemara in Menachas Daf Mem Dalet Omed Aleph. The Gemara there tells you, Maaseh b'adam echad shayizor b'mitzvah tzitzis. There was a story with a man that he was always careful with the mitzvah of tzitzis. Shoma, one day he heard, she'ash zona b'kracha yom, that there is a harlot, a woman of ill repute, Shenoteles Arba Meozuvim Bischora, that she charges 400 golden coins for her reward. In other words, she was a very expensive harlot. But he wanted to have her. Shigalo Arba Meozuvim, the Kavalov's man, he sent her 400 gold coins and made an appointment with her. Kishagiaz Manoi, when it came the time of his appointment, Bava Yoshevala Pesach, he decided to come and stayed by the door. In other words, he was ready for his appointment. Nechnasa shifchasa v'omrala. The maiden of this harlot saw this man, and she went to tell the harlot, Oise odom sheshigalach arba meozuvim bav Yoshua Pesach, that man that sent you 400 gold coins has arrived and is sitting by the doorway. Omra hi ikonis. So she said, you know, he has an appointment, let him come in. Nechnas, he came in, he tzioloi sheva mitois, she prepared for him 7 beds, one above the other, shesh shel kesef, 6 of silver, ve'achas shel zav, and 1 of gold, uvein kol achas ve'achas, and between each bed, sulom shel kesef, it was a stepladder made of silver, ve'el yoyne, and the top ladder shel zav was made of gold. In other words, this harlot always made a big production out of her relationships. She charged a lot of money because she always made this huge production. And she put 7 beds, 6 she had sheets of silver, and the last one she had sheets of gold. And between each bed she made a stepladder of silver, and between the last one and the gold one it was a stepladder of gold. Like that, the person will increase his desire by seeing this beauty and be able to go up to her. Also, v'yoshva gabal yoyna kishyaruma, she, this harlot, went on top of the gold one when she was naked. Vafu olo leishev orum kanegdo, and he too began to sit opposite her without his clothes. What happened? Bo arba tzitzioisov, his four tzitzis came, v'tavchu lo yaponav, and hit him on the face. The tzitzis hit him on the face.
Mefarshim explains that since the pasuk that we mentioned says, urisem oisoy, that you should see it, uzchartem, and you should remember the mitzvahs of Hashem, v'lo yisosuru acher levavchem, you should not go after your hearts and after your eyes. So it comes out that the mitzvah of tzitzis protects you, that you shouldn't go after your heart and after your eyes. Therefore, the tzitzis came and hit him on the face. Nishmat v'yoshav lo agab karka. Right away, this man slipped down and he sat on the ground. Vafi, she saw he's not coming up. Nishmat agab karka, she also sat down on the ground. Omroloi, she told him, Gapo Sharoimi, the master of Rome, in other words, she's swearing on the king, the life of Caesar, She'eni manichascha, that I don't let you go, Asher to'imer lui, mamum roisobi, until you tell me what kind of blemish, what kind of flaw did you see in me that you separated. In other words, she doesn't know what happened. She sees this man is about to perform the act with her, and the last minute he changes his mind. So must be that he saw something undesirable in her. Omar la, so the man answers, Havoida, I swear by Hashem's name, Shelori Isha Yafa Kamoischa, I never saw a beautiful woman like you. Elo mitzvah achas sivon Hashem Elokeinu, one mitzvah that Hashem commands us, v'tzitzes shma, and tzitzes is its name, uksiv ba, and it's written on tzitzes, ani Hashem Elokeichem, shtei pamim, it's written the words, ani Hashem Elokeichem, am Hashem your God, twice. On chapter 15, pasuk number 41, the last pasuk of the parsha of tzitzes, it says, ani Hashem Elokeichem, am Hashem your God, Asher tzitzi aschem et Yitzrayim, I took you out of Egypt, lios lochem lokim, to be to you for a God, ani Hashem Elokeichem, am Hashem your God. So it's written, ani Hashem Elokeichem, two times. Why is it written two times? Ani ush osid lipora, I'm the one that's going to exact punishment from people that are bad, v'ani ush osid l'shalom schar, and I'm the one that is going to give you reward for the mitzvahs, meaning that Hashem is going to give punishment and Hashem is going to give reward, and you have a choice to choose. Either you want punishment or you want reward, but nonetheless Hashem will do one or the other. Achshof, now Nidmo like Karboedim, these four tzitzes that I'm carrying, they looked like four witnesses that's coming and they will testify that I'm about to commit a sin. Therefore, since I'm afraid of the punishment, I decided not to have relations with you. She was so impressed with his self-control, that somebody is able to control himself faced in a situation like that, that she said to him, "Eini manichacho, I don't let you go, atche toimeli, until you tell me, mashimcha, what is your name, umashemircha, what is the name of your town, Umashim Rabcha, and what's the name of your teacher? Umashim Midrash, Shatalom Torah, and what's the name of the academy where you learn Torah?" The Gemara continues, Kasav Venasam Bayada, that the man wrote all the information down and gave it to her hand. Omdo, this woman, this harlot, decided, arose, Vechilka Kona Choseo, and she decided to divide all her possession. In other words, she was going to convert. And in those days, you couldn't convert without bribing the government to allow you to convert. So she divided all her wealth. Shlish lemalchus, she gave a third to the government official to allow her to convert. Ushlish lanim, she gave a third to the poor. So in the merit of charity, she'll be able to convert easier. Veshlish not lebeyada, and a third she took in her hand. In other words, she kept a third. Chutz meoiso matzois, and she also kept the linen, the gold and silver linen, which she originally tried to entice this man to commit a sin, she kept those linen. Uvas leves medrash shabchiyah. She came to the beis medrash of Rab Chiya, where this person was a student. Amaloi Rabbi, she tells Rab Chiya, Rabbi, tzave olai, command your people, vayasinu geyores, and let them make me a convert. In other words, I want to convert, give instructions for them to help for me to convert. Amar la biti, Rab Chiya tells her, Biti, my daughter, Shemo Encha Nosato Ba'echon Talmidim, maybe you're converting not for the sake of heaven, maybe you're converting because you want to marry one of my students. In other words, we do not accept converts if they have ulterior motive. If their motive is marriage, we're not allowed to accept convert. Oitziya Ksav Miyada Venasala, she took out the written note from the student And she gave it to Rav Chiya, and she explained that she was very impressed how the mitzvah protected him from sinning, and she was very impressed that a person could separate himself from such high temptation, that Hashem is so powerful that if you believe in Hashem, you are able to control yourself from this temptation. She wanted to join because she realized how great it is to perform the mitzvah and how fulfilling it is. It's even better than having a relationship with a woman. Amalos, Rav Chiya told her, if that's true, lechi zechi b'mikocheich, go and acquire your acquisition. Go collect your acquisition. In other words, go ahead and marry this person that you found at your home. The Gemara continues, oiso matzois shetzia loy be'isur, those linens that she arranged for him illicitly, that she wanted for him to commit aveira with her,
a sin with her,
hoitzia lo be'eter, now that she was married to him and she was legally his wife, those same linens she used to enhance his relationship with her. But you see from this Gemara that even though the eyes sees, and even though the heart desires, but if you're wearing the mitzvah tzitzis, if you have the tzitzis helps to protect you against those bad things. That the fact that you wear the mitzvah tzitzis, Hashem gives you protection against what your eye sees and what your heart desires. That even if you already saw, and even if your heart already desired, if you're wearing tzitzis, Hashem helps and protects you from sin. I wanted to say that this is why Rashi specifically picks the pasuk that's written, that they came back, mitura oretz, they came back from spying the land, because Rashi wants us specifically to know that had the meraglims wore tzitzis, then the tzitzis would have protected them from looking the bad way and forgiving the bad testimony. The tzitzis would have protected his eyes and his heart that they shouldn't sin. But since they didn't wear tzitzis, therefore they ended up corrupting. So that's why Rashi here clearly tells you that the eyes and the heart are the meraglim for the person. And in Rashi uses specifically the pasuk, mitura ores, where they corrupted, because Rashi is trying to hint that had they had tzitzis, they would have not corrupted. They would have protected the meraglim as the tzitzis protected the student. But since they did not have tzitzis, therefore they did not have the protection. And that could be why mitzvah tzitzis is written after the story of the meraglim, because to let you know that if you wear tzitzis, the Hashem could have even protected the meraglim from doing bad things. From all this we see how important it is to keep the mitzvah of tzitzis, that the mitzvah of tzitzis is equivalent to all the mitzvahs of the Torah, and also if you keep the mitzvah of tzitzis, Hashem protects you that you will not sin, even when you are faced with unsurmountable temptation, Hashem will protect you that you will not sin. Also, we see that if you do not keep tzitzis, then when Hashem is angry and He punishes for other reasons, He will punish you for not wearing tzitzis, even though you're not wearing a four-corner clothing. And we also see that this is really an easy mitzvah to make. So Hashem Yisborach should help that we should all keep the mitzvah of tzitzis. And like that, Hashem will count as we did the whole Torah. And if we all do the whole Torah, then a Moshiach will come. The Beis HaMikdash will be rebuilt. B'mheira b'yomeinu. Amen.